This episode of Lore Seekers is brought to you by Manscaped. You're going to get 20% off your order and free shipping. Use the code LoreSeekers at checkout. And don't forget, this Black Friday and following Cyber Monday, get 25% off your entire order and free shipping. Manscaped.com is doing all kinds of great deals. Be sure and check it out. Manscaped.com.
I, Sea Voyager, welcome to Eternum, an ancient land of fantastical legends. The Lore Seekers, four of the finest storytellers of the New World, await your arrival. They'll spin ye a tale of mystery and adventure. So grab an ale and rest ye self from your journey across the cursed seas.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome. This is Lore Seekers number 14. This week on the show, we're talking all kinds of things. First up and foremost, we're going to be talking about discussion on diminishing returns for CC and PvP, our first impressions of the Void Gauntlet, company contributions for war, how world merges will work, and we're continuing our lore lesson series on the ancients. We are your hosts. I am Jibs, and I'm joined by White Thunder from the West.
Who's that?
Western side. Everyone's going to pick one. Western side of the United States.
How did I know that was coming to me? It's because of my head, right? I was outside getting some... I was outside getting vitamin D on my dome today, bro. So, yeah, you can't go so deep on the White Thunder thing, but yeah, I'll take it.
All right.
Cool. So anyway, I'm doing great.
Oh, thanks. Good. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad things are in order. That's fantastic. My best friend from Northern Indiana, Champ.
What it do, baby? What it do?
That's how it should sound.
It's a lot better.
It is a lot better. You know,
cash. Yeah.
Remember that cash?
I was gonna steal it again, but I was under death threat.
I'm driving you home state.
It's a bad idea. Telling
you the theft of his opener last week, so I won't do that anymore. I'm sorry.
It's a bad idea.
Oh, that was hilarious. I went back and listened to it repeatedly. Every time. I was driving to work at 6 a.m. laughing hysterically.
Yeah, I'm going to be making a short on that. I was actually going to work on that before the show because it was pretty funny. The look in his face was just like,
oh, he's mad.
Yeah. Oh, no, I wasn't mad. It was almost like you betrayed me. It was a straight on betrayal of the trust tree.
Low blow.
In front of everybody. I was violated and I didn't appreciate it. I contacted our HR, Jeffy, and he told me to go get bent. So this is where we are.
Yeah, he was upset. He's like,
"You think of your own ditty. That's mine."
Okay. Business, what he did.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, and our company governor Solis.
Oh, hey guys.
Oh, hey.
How's it going?
Oh, hi.
Good seeing you.
Yeah, yeah. We weren't talking 40 minutes before the show. Not at all.
No.
First time.
Catch me up.
Yeah. Gentlemen, what's new?
I have some news.
Oh my gosh, you're pregnant. Buddy. Are you like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
60!
In that movie?
60!
Yay!
Congrats, man.
Yay! I know,
job.
I took my time, everybody. Congrats. I know everybody was super worried about it because I was really taking my time, kind of moving slow. But look, I read a lot of lore, okay? A lot.
Mm.
And I discovered something that about 75% of the lore pages that are in New World cannot be read on the spot,
right?
Unless you want to die, because you have to clear the area around it. Normally, there's a lot of stuff going on around you. There's battles, there's aggro freaking everywhere because all the aggro circles are like this big on the screen,
right?
So, yeah, you fart into an aggro range and you're gonna pull it. Like, there's no butt pulls, it's literally like fart pull. You can do fart pulls in this game.
I actually heard when you read one of those, you get 5% more threat. So be careful with that.
Yeah.
Did you take that carnelian gem off your weapon by chance? Because I know you were running with that. That was good.
That was early
guys,
game,
I got
bro.
This. I got this on my weapon. It says no threat. That's for your armor, homie.
It's a life staff.
Look.
He has a threat gem on a life staff. Noob.
Okay, one time during the early part of the game, I put a carnelian in and I'm a healer and we couldn't figure out why the threat was getting pulled off the tank, okay?
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to live it down since!
Never.
That was the most confused I have ever been in gaming. I'm like, in tank gear, I'm like, why? I'm hitting taunt and they're still attacking my healer. I quit.
Jeffy in chat says, I remember my first time reading.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, yeah. Jeffy. That's not very HR department of you, by the way.
Words are hard.
That's so good.
So no, but yeah, I am. I finally hit 60, and I have the company to thank because it was a big push. I was getting close. I decided to hunker down, which is why we had less videos on YouTube this week. I'm not kidding you. Like once I hit 60, and saw the things that I get to do now at 60, it like re-energized me from the grind. It was like, okay, let's do this. It's freaking end game time. And now I'm super pumped. I'm having a blast. We're running. I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but we're running every day. We're running through Shattered Mountain and just exploring areas I've never seen before. And it's all super fresh. And I'm really enjoying the challenge because if you ain't paying attention, you're dying.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's how it works in this game. And I really enjoy that. Is such a nice change. And I'm really enjoying the combat and the challenge.
You know, it's
awesome, dude.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. You know, I remember when we talked about just having challenge again in an MMO. You know, not being able to steamroll everything. Playing a game that forces you to think about your combat. You know, like, and I guess in the grand scheme, it sounds so, like, minuscule, but it's huge to me. Like it feels dynamic, the combat and the world. It constantly wants to kill you. And in an odd sense, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I found that if you practiced while you were leveling the dance, right? So as a melee DPS, my whole goal is to not get hit.
Right.
And how do you not get hit? You use your block and you use your dodges. And I wear heavy armor, so the dodge, you got to do the dodge canceling by switching to your weapons or sheathing your weapon. But I have found that I find so much joy in rotating around behind them when they do their attacks. Realizing that when you see that white glow, that's their heavy attack. And you just skip right around behind them. Right. And then you just give them and I've just really enjoyed that. I've had two other things I want to share this week. K-Champ is killing it.
Yeah,
she is running everything with us. She is brand new to the game. For those of you watching that are new to the show, I've talked about it before, but I'll catch you up real quick. My wife's never played a video game. We've been married 24 years. I've been begging, pleading, come play a game with me. She watched our show. She watched me play the game and she joined. I bought her an entire computer setup and she's killing it. I mean, she's healing. She doesn't die. I die more than she does. I mean, in the big runs we do, she's going to Merc Guard. She's going to, you know, the mines. She's up in Shattered Mountain with us. She's not afraid to do it. She's healed dungeons or expeditions by herself. It's been amazing.
That's awesome,
And secondly, I met a guy that we are in the community with. He found us through the show, joined the company a week after the game was live. He started a week later, and we work in the same building. And I met him this week as well. He came over, Rumshaker, much love, brother, but he came over.
That's awesome.
And it was funny, man. We went to the, you know, to do that kind of bro shake, and I like reached out and just hugged him. And I was like, I probably shouldn't have hugged him, but I was just,
I love it.
Rarely have I had the opportunity to meet people that I game with, you know, and it was just, it's a really good opportunity. So it's been a good time, man. I mean, this week's been good. The community is growing.
Yeah.
We assisted flipping one of the yellow territories to purple. We're about to work on one of our own. So stay tuned. We will let you know where it's at. But I mean, just a great week in the game, getting people to 60, dragging, you know, Cash kicking and screaming through Shattered Mountain through his last two levels. And I think the only thing that I would say that wasn't great this week. Next.
Yes, I love it. Dude, I have to comment. I have to comment on the fact that when people say that gamers are unsocial and we're all just sitting in our mother's basement in some old rickety chair playing video games, eating Cheetos, it drives me crazy because I have been more social in video games than I have been my entire life. And I absolutely love the fact that you were able, like, what are the chances of that? We talked about this before the show. I could totally see somebody else in your building playing the same game. I get that. But being in the same community and, like, not realizing that the person he was listening to on a podcast works in the same building, that to me, that's divine. That is divine. That is so freaking awesome that stuff like that happens. And that is what gaming brings to us. That is what this massively multiplayer experience can bring to people and enrich lives. And
absolutely.
I could go on about that and community forever, but that to me is huge.
That's where it's at. Community right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, it's community that keeps MMOs alive. It's community that, you know, that continues to build those MMOs, and it's community that forges those relationships. You know, I will never forget the very first drink I ever had in my life was a Fireball shot that Cash bought for me. For, of course, Cash and
what?
Jinx.
In Seattle. Wait, that was you? What?
You didn't know that was my first drink? That was my first drink.
I did not know that that was your first drink ever. Now I feel aww, a little demonic, to be honest with you.
That's so cute.
And I'll never forget, we were hanging out. It was a gamer-themed bar in Seattle. We got flown out from, it was a company, now defunct company. It was called Motiga, and they had what are those games called? MOBA. A third-person MOBA coming out called Gigantic.
Yeah. Gigantic,
and I remember you sat that down, I'm like, I don't know what this is going to taste like. This is like circa, 2015?
Pippa Chat says, now look what you did, Cash. I know.
Yeah.
He's mixing whiskeys.
He's out.
But anyway, like, it's community. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Shot.
It's community.
The first shot's free.
First shot.
But anyway. No, it's just those moments, you know. It's special. It's fun. And so it's really freaking cool. You know, it's what else is cool? I was wearing my hoodie. So there's this thing that happens in Indiana. I don't remember the name of the city now, but it's like the city, it's solely dedicated to tourism. These shops were legit. Imagine an entire city where people own these shops, and it kind of looks like something you'd see out of like I'll use Harry Potter as an example. So in that world where they're buying all the things they need, that's kind of what this city is, but it's all locally made. And these people sell them by, you know, like leather makers, leather workers, and all kinds of things.
Oh, that's awesome.
Happened to be going through this fudge shop, and there's this 15-year-old kid sitting there working, and I'm wearing my New World hoodie. This town has maybe a population of like 10,000, maybe. He goes, hey. I said, hey. Do you play New World?
Do you use Manscaped?
You can't say that to a 15-year-old, Sullis. Yeah. That's how you go to jail, bro.
You look like you use Manscaped. Or you're 15.
No, Spot.
I didn't lead with that, Sullis, but I strongly considered it.
My bad.
Anyway, so I'm like, yeah, I do. Do you? He's like, yeah, you know, I've been grinding. You know, I got to max level all stuff. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, man, I feel like I'm just getting bored. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, do you listen to podcasts? And he's like, no, I haven't, not for the game, no. I'm like, you should check out Lore Seekers. Really? Yeah. Okay, I'll check him out. Fast forward a week later, I'm at Meijer, and a probably 65-year-old woman looked at me. She was working there. She was working the cash register, and she said, "Hey, I'm like,
what are you doing tonight?"
this story is way off, man. Get to the point.
And so I said, she said, "Hey," and I said, "Hey." She said, "I love that hoodie." I'm like, "Thank you." She plays a game. So anyway, that's my story.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Minus all the creepy bits and the 15-year-old Manscaped.
We were
save 20% off.
Started to sail into some pretty hefty seas there, but
Man. So anyway, so there was something that's been coming up. I've been wanting to bring up on the show, coming out of the forums. I feel like I'm living at the forums, by the way. Hey, Sen, thank you so much for all the gifted subs and everyone who's gifting subs tonight. Appreciate everyone who's here. And by the way, anyone who's listening, if you want to come watch the show, you can. Twitch.tv/LoreSeekersCast. Just follow us on our socials. We'll tell you when we're doing it. Anyway, so on the forums, there's this discussion going around about diminishing returns in New World, particularly from the standpoint of wars. Now, for those of you who are listening and don't understand what diminishing returns are, so I'm going to use SWTOR as an example. If you CC somebody, so if you CC somebody, and you know, and it happens so often. Now, I don't remember what's called in that game, but essentially, you can no longer be CC'd. Like for a certain period of time, you are immune to CC. Okay, it's a diminishing return. Now, there's a lot of people on the forums, especially, who would like to see diminishing returns brought to New World because companies are capitalizing on the Warhammer and the Battle Axe, bringing those to a war and understanding how to chain the CC, which the skill, I'll pull up in a minute. I don't have it in front of me, but the CC skill, okay, from the Warhammer. So they're chaining these. One person in particular made a comment and said, as a tank, I was literally CC'd to death. I was pushed off the point. Yep. Just from straight CC, constantly spamming, constantly happening. I'll be honest, I'm kind of open to having this because it makes, from my standpoint, again, from a world that has dynamic combat, to me it makes sense, but I kind of wanted to hear what everyone else had to say about it.
Yeah. The move you're looking for is Shockwave. And
thank you.
Basically, if you Shockwave, get another slam, Shockwave, get another slam. If you've got a, you know, great axe in there doing the choppy choppy, it's a done deal. There's nothing you can do. You're just staggered completely. So the addition of a CC's diminishing return is needed because that'll change the war footprint. Because right now, if you've got the best gear and you've got enough people with Warhammers, then you can get ahead of it and you can get it done. Now, don't get me wrong, everyone can do it, but it's definitely the war here is different. A lot of times when you do PvP, and I talked about this with Jeffy earlier, you feel like you have to be the strongest, get the most burst, right? Because that's normally PvP, you're burning down.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
In an arena, but not in a war. Sustainment is the king in war. So you should have maxed out constitution and then balance your points other places so you can survive, because it's a survivability game. It's not a rush to first game. It's not a rush to kill. Obviously, killing and holding points, but you've got to be able to stay in the game, because the more you're dead, the less you can fight. And the less you can fight, you know, one person down, another person down, and it's attrition, it's numbers, it's just basic mathematics. And so I think it's really important to understand that there's different things that you build for depending on what you're doing. You'll build different for the, what's the PvP run, 20 on 20? Oh, man.
Outrush?
Outrush. You'll build different for that, I would think, because it's 20 on 20 than you are for 50 on 50. Yeah. So I agree with the diminishing returns.
It would also increase the diversity of your weapons, right? Kind of alluded to whenever JB was talking earlier. But I mean, you're right. If you have 50 people showing up to a war with the same two weapons, why run anything else? Not to mention the fire staffs that were just burning up everything in this spot, right? So we were being CC, not able to block or survive anything, and then just being burnt by the fire staff. I mean, that was obviously a problem, but it needs to be fixed before the Void Gauntlet comes out. And we'll talk about it here in a couple of minutes, but the Void Gauntlet also has a lot of CCs. It also has a lot of that. It kind of influences as well. And if you don't fix it now, it's going to be a game of CCing where you're going to null, 33% with a fighting force that's out there.
That's a really interesting point, especially from a passive standpoint, what that will do as far as you'll start to see a further lack of diversity in weapons. And a game that's so rich and unique weapons and the skill trees alone, it goes without saying, right? You want that diversity. You want to see all different types of warriors from different, you know, even if you were to take an RP standpoint, quote unquote, with this, you know, not every warrior in an army rocks the same thing, okay? It's, you the diversity there is important.
I definitely have an opinion here too, because I was on the receiving end of a lot of those combos. Just real quick though, BDLG in chat, thanks for showing, man. Hey. Really nice to see you, BDLG from Studio Loot. And there is currently a battle going on with gifted subs in our chat, and we thank you all for all that. You guys are freaking amazing. Yeah,
I've
never really claimed to be like a huge PvPer, but I'm really starting to get like the poison. I feel the poison. I'm really digging it now. And you know, having only taken place or only taken part in our initial war and getting my butt handed to me, a lot of that was due to that CC. Like, there's absolutely nothing that you could do. Like, even like in that gravity well, like, you're done, especially as a healer, you know, with like minimal stamina, you're kind of screwed. So I like the idea of diminishing returns to some point. And the reason being is because you really are combating some of the best players on the server, and you know that they are out there practicing putting those combos together. I mean, we're doing it in PvE.
Yeah.
You know, practicing one skill, there's one person does one skill, another person does another skill, and you're maximizing your effectiveness against PvE content. You absolutely know, this being a PvP game, you know people are doing that out there, and they are going to be damn good at it. And yeah, it will pigeonhole you into only having certain weapons brought to the battlefield.
Mm.
So even if you're built correctly, even if your build is built for war, if that doesn't get tailored down a little bit, you're going to run into a lot of those teams that have those little strike teams of four or five players, and that's all they do is CC so everybody else can burn you down. Because I'll tell you what, if you are CC'd and there are ranged casters and they're hitting that back line or they're hitting wherever that CC is taking place, there is zero survival taking place there. You're going down.
The biggest fear that I have is if I go back to Elder Scrolls Online, there were seasons where classes were irrelevant, right? Like I played a Magsorg. And there were expansions where the Magsorg was completely irrelevant, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if AGS solves this, they will be the first developer to ever solve it. I get it, right? But if they're able to solve for it, like, I would love for the musket to be just as relative to the Ice Gauntlet or to the Void Gauntlet than having the cyclical season where something matters more than others. If they can solve for it, that'd be amazing. I don't see it being possible.
Go ahead, bud.
I was going to say, I think some of the weapons that people don't play, it's because they're skill-based weapons. And I'm not trying to offend anybody, but the musket, the bow, they're skill shot weapons. Therefore, you have to have a first-person shooter ability.
ADS,
you know, if you're coming from a World of Warcraft, you know, that style of gaming, right, where it's tab target, You're going to struggle with those weapons because you're not used to the ADS. If you're not a Call of Duty player, you know, you might struggle with that a little bit. So I think the weapons are viable at some point, but I agree with you when it comes to if you're not using a sword or you're not using a sword board and a life staff or a heavy hammer, you know, with a life staff or a great axe and the warhammer, you're not using those things. You're almost gimping your team. Unless you're on defense, and that's another thing, we've done a lot of attacking, no defense. When you're on defense, then your ranged weapons can be effective, right? Because then you're using your ranged weapons to take out their siege gunners, and you know what I'm saying? So it just depends on what side of the ball that you're playing on, right? Either you're on offense or you're on defense. When you're on offense, you need a lot of boom boom and push. For instance, like the Warhammer, it is made specifically for two things. One, displacement or destruction. So either you push things away from you, or you make it stay right in front of you. You know, when you switch from, what is it? I don't want to say it wrong. So the Path of Destiny gives the push.
Mm.
The Wrecking Ball doesn't push you. It flattens you. It's a skill shot, but when you hit it, they're flattened. Anybody within a meter and a half are flattened, and then you can just continue your rotation through it. You know, and so if you look at the different styles of builds for it, yes, there's builds that you want to play, but there's builds that you should play for certain content based off of it. If you're PvE and you're using all the pushback stuff and you're knocking people out of AoEs, you're knocking them away from the tank and then they're losing aggro because the rangers are pumping them full of lead or cracking them with arrows. So you have to be mindful of it. So I think right. there's a lot of usage for the different things that AGS has given us. I just think the balancing, like you said, once they get that, if they get that. But the reality of it is they probably never will. And I'm not trying to be that guy, but just there's always broke builds. There's always broke something that just does something. And once they fix it, then something else is. And so it's kind of a nature of the beast kind of thing. But I'd love to see them fix it.
Yeah. I don't feel like that's a... I don't think that's a solvable thing. At least it never has been. Literally ever. At least that I'm aware of from any other MMO.
Look, it's a balance. It's always going to be a balance because and you're never going to get it just right. You're never going to move that dial all the way to the 100% mark where they can say that okay, everything is 100% balance. Yeah. That's not the way MMOs work. That's not the way player versus player games work. It is a constant ebb and flow, especially, you know, you might have everything like really close. What I'm seeing right now is little tweaks here and there to different weapons to just bring that balance up. It's a homeostasis of keeping that level to where it's all quite manageable, to where you don't have, okay, the Warhammer's way up here and the, you know, the Great Axe is way up here, but the Rapier is way down here. The other thing we have to consider is that each one of these weapons is, number one, situational. Yeah. So you might be the real quick get in, get out, stabby, stabby, and escape, and then go back to your ranged attack type of player, or it's completely different than a backline healer or a frontline tank. It's completely different, and that's why there's six skills and numerous different ways to spec into passives to tweak your build the way that you want it. The way that you want it might work great for PvE, but it's not going to work as well for PvP. So to some respect, yeah, there is going to be a meta for PvE and for PvP. I mean, look at me as example, as a healer, I absolutely love the mobility of light armor. I love the power of my heals with light armor, but I've completely transitioned to all heavy armor and I'm doing just fine. So as long as it doesn't completely gimp you on one side or the other, they're still leaving that room for flexibility in there so you can be effective and play what you want to play. It will never be fully balanced the way that we think it games can be. And, you know, just like Sola said, like AGS would be the first game ever to do that. And I don't know that's an attainable thing, nor do we want that. We always want there to be some kind of an ebb and flow going on.
Yeah. I'll meet you. Go ahead, Bruce.
All I was going to say was quickly is you have to look at the weapon systems and what they do. I like the rapier, for instance. The rapier is a maybe 2v2, 3v3, 5v5 weapon because with riposte and the way that it goes in and out, yeah, it might not be a war weapon, but it is a PvP weapon, right? So I think if you look at the way the weapons work and you look at how they work in game, I think they made certain weapons for certain types of gameplay. And the beautiful thing about it is you only need one person to do that. And once you hit 60, to level up a weapon is almost instantaneous. It's easy. If you go out and just mob some mobs, right? Just destroy some mobs, you're going to level up your weapons very quickly. So I think they give you the weapons to use, but I think you have to figure out which way to use them and the way that they are intended, right? You know, like I said, if you're on offense, you're probably not going to do a whole lot of backline shooting. You're going to be pushing. You need to get on the point, right? You will have a backline of healers and everything, but your focus is on that point. So what do you need? Displacement, and you need to penetrate their backline. You need to either do a pincer. You need to get them pulled one way. You know, you've got to do different variables that work. And basically, you have to displace enough people where you can take it over. And I think you just have to look at the weapon systems and understand what they're for.
And you just turn into a robot. Anybody else hear that, or is it just me?
Oh, no, I heard it. Say something, Bruce.
Something, Bruce.
That's interesting. Plug your mic and plug that back in. We'll try that. See if that does it. That's weird. sound like a C-3PO.
Yeah,
I actually kind of dug it. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, wow, is that a new effect?
Keep it. Just got to enter a new character, right?
How about now?
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
I'm off the show, boys. Bye.
I don't know. That's weird. Okay. Anyway.
Yep. Maybe maybe shut the board off. Turn it back on.
After you stop the record. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
And just restart the record.
Interesting. Anyway,
yeah,
I think
weird.
I think the only thing I was going to add, I'll meet you halfway, Cash. Like, as a tank, I am kind of forced with a sword and board. And so we have these things. I think a lot of classes do, but we have a thing called grit where we can assign grit to a skill that makes you kind of not invincible, but it makes you kind of invincible through a CC, right? But it's only for that one attack. So if a good company is coming at you and they're doing this cyclical like CC maneuver, whether it's the Warhammer or the axe, you can grit through one of them. But the other 99 that hits you after that, you're screwed. So at some point, like that has to be addressed. Give me like almost like a shield wall. I can't believe I just made a World of Warcraft reference, but give me like a buff.
That was more of an Amonimar.
That's where my head was at.
Okay. Hold on. All right. We'll go with that. Yep. That sounds better than World of Warcraft. So give me something like that where I'm able to grit through like 10 seconds worth of CCs. Mm. I think that'll be probably a good middle ground, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, there's got to be something in. I think, you know, to kind of wrap it up, I think it's. There needs to be something added, because if nothing is added, then eventually players, I mean, as PvPers, we want to compete. You know, when you're on the battlefield, you want to compete. You know, if it's healing, you want to be the best healer. You want to have the top numbers. For DPS, you know, that's something to be said when you have all the kills, you know, when you're top kills. It's also something to be said when you're taking over, you know, not just you in one territory, but you are assisting other companies taking over these territories because of what you provide. You know, if that's power, whatever it is, you know, and so there needs to be something, because we have to maintain diversity with amongst these weapons. Yes. If offense is only going to be healers, war axe and battle or Warhammer and battle axe, then we're missing out. You know, players are missing out. Players will have to be pigeonholed just to feel like they can compete. And I don't think anybody wants that.
That's right.
So,
do you want to test out champs?
Shall we test champs?
What'd it do?
There it is.
There's that beautiful voice.
We cool. missed you, buddy.
Dude, that was actually weird. Yeah, it was weird. It just happened out of nowhere. But to add something to this, like when you have strength maxed out, you get grit on your light and heavy attacks. Mm. And one of the things that if you think about what that does, it doesn't displace you. So if you see, like, if you're fighting an enemy and you see them doing something that you know is going to topple you, you just automatically go in for a heavy attack. And you're going to take the damage, but you're not going to fall down. Therefore, you're not going to have to use that animation to fall down to get back up. And it's just watching what's going on. I challenge anyone, slow down and appreciate what AGS did for the battles that you engage in. Go deal with the angry earth.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Go deal with the angry earth. Go play with them. And watch them move. And the way that they caveat around you and they juke you out and everything. I love the active combat. The fact that they'll see you wind up to do a heavy attack and they'll flip out of the way. Yeah. Or that female pirate chick, she will whoop your ass when you're new. If you don't pay attention, you just blow everything. And that's another thing. Don't forget how powerful your light and heavy attacks are. When you see a yellow bar under the enemy's name, if you put that yellow bar to depleted, it stuns them. So if it's a big enemy that's pushing your tank around, if you got a Warhammer and you're heavy attacking him in the back, 6, 7, 8 good shots by two different people, and he's on his knees. Your tank's taking no damage. You're not moving. All of your AoEs are in one spot. It's just knowing what you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to do it and how to use your weapon systems to be the most effective you can be.
There you go. Boom.
Love it.
I like that. Well, before we move on, friends, there's something that I put together for you. And you know what? I think it's just better just to push play. We'll be right back. That's the outro music. Let's try this again. There it is.
10%.
Burn him. Burn him. Burn him.
Watch the AoE.
Tank going down.
I'm down.
Same.
That's a wipe.
Hey, where's Cash?
I don't know. He was healing at the start of the fight.
Is he AFK?
Cash is queuing up, but wait, is that a lawnmower?
Cash, are you there?
Guys, this is awesome!
Bro, what are you doing?
I'm shaving my balls!
This is gonna be a lot.
Well, I guess he's not picking flowers this time.
Does your ball lawn look like your home's backyard in Aeternum? Check out Manscaped's Lawnmower 4.0. This fourth generation groin and body hair trimmer features skin safe replaceable ceramic blades, keeping your lawn looking great without any unfortunate cuts. The Lawnmower 4.0 also includes adjustable guard sizes, a wireless charging system, LED spotlight, and more. And hey, it's waterproof. Shop today at manscaped.com and use the code LoreSeekers to get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped. The right tools for the job.
Smooth as a baby's butt.
Hell yeah.
I hate you.
Woo. Oh, jeez.
Anyway, yeah, friends, you want to get something really cheap. And by the way, our code stacks on any deals they had there. I was buying some Christmas gifts. I'm not going to lie, I totally used it. Yeah. So I got something for legit half the price. Anyway,
we are not just sponsored. We are clients.
Oh yeah, I'm using it too. yeah, man. Anyway, so you go to the site, go to manscaped.com, get 20% off your order and free shipping on us. It's great for holiday gifts, nose hair trimmers, all the thing. Take care of the men in your life. All right. Anyway, good times. Whew, that was fun.
Do what's right.
Those do what is right. It's first time here at the live stream.
those are never gonna get old. They seriously are not. We're having a freaking blast doing those little ditties for Manscaped are so much fun.
And somebody asked, is there a video? Not yet.
No.
But it's coming. I promise you.
We had one last week.
Yeah, we did have one last week. Check out last week.
Yep. And we're gonna come from all over the place with these things for Manscaped. They're too much fun to avoid. So
yeah, they've been good to us and it's been a good time. But, all right, so world merges. I know we talked about it last week, but it's one of those things where it's like, okay, if this is going to happen, like, you know, it's on, quote, on the horizon, like it's being said, it's important for everyone who's listening and for us to discuss, okay, how is this actually going to work? All right. And so on a forum post, they did a great job. By the way, AGS did an excellent job, a new dev blog, getting ahead of a lot of questions. Update on current issues number 2. All right. This was put out, I think it was late last week, right after we did our show. So we couldn't cover it. But they talk about world merges. And they say, quote, players on worlds identified for merge will be informed in advance of the plan. Players with characters on a merge candidate world will not lose their progress, including gold, items, faction, and company. However, territories will belong to the companies on the partner world. For example, if World X is confirmed as merge candidate and World Y is identified as the partner world, then A, players on World Y are not impacted other than an influx of players on the world. World Y territory ownership persists after the merge. So for those of us, I'm going to take our server and just say it's the one that's moving. Okay. So this X. Okay. I believe this is how it goes. Yeah. All right. So our world X is going to come over to Y. Okay. We essentially, as far as everything goes, territories, all that, when we join this server, we're subject to whatever is already happening on the server in the current moment. So all the territories, whoever owns it, we're like the new guy. Like, we just came aboard a ship on this island. Take it like that, okay? And you're, like, learning the server.
But you get to bring all your stuff.
That's right.
You get to bring all your stuff. You just don't get to keep the land that you left behind.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
And we want this. Like, I know there's like a short sight vision and a long sight vision, but we want this as a gaming community. Trust me. So if you're losing your territory, I know how painful and frustrating that could be, but if you don't populate, if you don't merge these servers, Champ talks about it all the time, but World of Warcraft went down that road of having dead servers. If you do not nip this in the butt now, the problem is going to be exponentially worse in a very short period of time. So go through the pain now. You've already gotten one territory. You probably know how to do it again. And it's going to be even more rewarding this time because you're going against more people. So I know it's painful, but we want this as a full populated server.
I think a big thing too is remembering that this game is new and this happens. They're not doing a server wipe. They're going to position you in a different spot. We need this. Like, to piggyback off Sullis, WoW had to go to LFR, LFGs because they were dead servers and they had to find a way to do it. They didn't want to shut servers down. I don't know why. But in this situation, I know it's going to suck for people who got the territories and stuff like that, everything like that. But in reality, you're going to lose it eventually. So it's just one of those things where it's for the better of the community. It's for the better of the, you know, economy. You'll have more people on the economy. You know, you'll have more people contributing to the economy. You have more people to fight. You have more PvP. Right now, our server queues for Outpost Rush are horrible because not enough people are queuing up. So, yes, it does suck, but it's going to make your gaming situation better. Your game time is going to be more efficient. It's going to play better because you have more people to play with.
Right, right. I mean, that's what we want, you know, and then that's what they want. They want... They didn't build a game, you know, for, which still blows my mind, 3 years for an MMO, which is just stupidly quick. And everything we got in 3 years, it blows my mind every day I log in. I'm like, this is 3 years? Oh my gosh. Anyway, you know, they didn't do that for 3 years for you as a player not to be able to take all of it in. They want you to have those fights. They want you to have that, you know, that whole, like, you know, we talked about in the last episode, kind of like the espionage, you know, working back and forth between different companies. If Marauders and Covenant aren't, you know, working well, you know, partnering with a syndicate to take out, you know, so-and-so. You know, they want you to experience those things. They want you to experience Outpost Rush. They don't want those long queues. And obviously, we don't want it. We want to experience the game as well. And so these world merges are super important. And it just makes everything better. I cannot wait. I'll be the first to tell you. I can't wait till we get off tilapian
almost
telepathic something.
You almost got it.
What makes you think what makes you think that we're going to have to go to another server?
Maybe
some are coming over to us.
No, let's not. Get us off this name that I can never pronounce. Get us off. We were doomed. I was doomed the moment we joined that server. There's no way I was ever going to land that name.
This is true. I actually agree. I'm happy about the server mergers coming. Bruce, I want to hit on one thing that you said, is that you said you were talking a little bit about World of Warcraft and about maybe why they did not want to shut down servers. This is just my opinion. I obviously don't know shit about game development, but at least from the internal side. From the external side, yeah, I know plenty about it. I have a lot of speculation going on in my head, but a game like World of Warcraft, they prided themselves on their numbers for so many years, and they never, once they initially like released that initial number of millions of player of subscribers that they had playing their game, there is no way that after that amount of years that they wanted to admit defeat. So my personal opinion, why they decided to go LFG and LFR is, they didn't want to shut down servers because they didn't want to admit that their server population or their population on their servers was dwindling, that their sub base was dwindling. Sidebar, that's my personal opinion on World of Warcraft. I think it's important to mention to people that this is a normal thing for new MMOs.
Oh, yeah.
It's very normal. At new MMOs, everybody wants to try them. You're going to have a much higher population of people coming in that initial week. People that have taken time off work. People are excited that there's a new game out, especially MMOs, because this genre has been suffering for so many years without, you know, new quality releases. Yeah. This was the first new quality release of a solid AAA MMO that had come out in a long time. So yes, there was going to be a massive influx of players in. I mean, look at the numbers that hit Steam concurrently. It was crazy. But that's always going to balance out. Now, you couple that with also not unlike new MMOs to have some bugs that they need to fix. And people were complaining about some stuff. So right now, the numbers have kind of balanced out in the servers. So you've got a bunch of people flooding a bunch of servers. They open up new servers to allow everybody to experience the game. And then eventually people get back to work. People decide the game's not for them. People are really pissed about this or that. And then it dwindles down your player base. And now that player base, those people like us who are showing up every day to log in and play the game, are spread out on all these different servers. So now you have to take these servers and systematically and strategically do these merges to get this server and this server together. So now that server population is good and healthy again. And the game mechanics can operate, the war mechanics, the territory mechanics can operate the way that they were designed with a healthy player population. So I just thought it was very, very important to mention that. Like you see on Reddit or some of the other forums stuff, oh, this game's dying and blah, blah. Yeah, no, it's not. We're just bringing stuff back together. And then you're going to get to your actual manageable number of players that are actually going to be logging into the game every day. So do I think this needs to take place? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I like the way they're doing it, because especially with territory control, it has to happen that way. But I do also understand on the other side how some players would be bummed. And like say Tilapia ends up getting merged with another server. If we own territory that we earned through blood, sweat, and tears, it would suck to lose that territory and have to re-earn it again and you know, learn the landscape of a new server and what that server population is like, and you know, get to know the lay of the land again. That would be very difficult. But if I'm mistaken here, let me know. But I thought AGS put in something for those companies that were losing territories. Aren't they refunding some of that gold?
That's a good one.
I thought I saw something about that.
I'm not sure. Like the next thing they really
they're refunding 50,000 gold, 50k gold, right, which is I believe 3.3 times the cost of war.
Yeah, there it is.
So they're giving them three times what they spent to get into the war. Because here's the thing: the people who run these places understand there's not a lot of money making at first. You have to put a lot of work in. You got to do the corruption portals. You got, there is a lot to manage it. So it does kind of suck though. I hate to be that guy, but it does kind of suck to lose that in a transfer. I can't say that doesn't. I'm going to say it's a necessary evil to get us to a point where we need to be, but that does kind of suck because that 50K doesn't make up for the hours and hours and hours that you spent killing the portals or defending the territory. So it kind of does suck a little bit.
I agree. You know, as a company who's worked hard, I'm not necessarily speaking to, I'm just saying in general, you know, as a company who's worked hard, who's held their area, who's won their wars, who's done everything right by the book, it's not fair to them to lose what they've earned. If you've earned it, you should be able to hold it. And that's just respect to the time that they've invested, you know.
Is the alternative to just wipe and purge the map? Would we support that?
That's kind of where I'm at. Like, I get what you guys are saying, and I kind of agree with it. But I mean, what's the solution?
Merge the servers and you wipe it.
Just purge it all.
I would love that.
And you make them fight it over.
Okay. Devil's advocate. Now you're pissing off people on two servers.
Well, here's the thing, though. Who's the bigger one to piss off, right? I mean, do you do something that's equally even for both sides, meaning that nobody has control and you have to fight for control again? Or do you let the people who are on the father server, you're going to keep their areas and then take away the servers from the other people? Either way, you're taking something from someone. So my opinion is I like an even balance, right? If you're going to take from one, take from the other. So I think, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what's going to happen. Go for it. And that's, to me, that makes it even across the board for everyone.
So maybe every company that has ownership and is going to lose it gets refunded the 50K and you wipe the maps clean on that day. Like, done. Wiping it totally clean, server merges for, you know, this cluster is happening on this day. When that happens, we're wiping clean. Have fun.
Here's the thing. With the, and also, before we get any further, the stations. So all you have to do is change the three stations in the non-controllable area to tier 5 to compensate for the fact that you can't raise it to tier 5 or you're losing that tier 5s, right? So you do 3 in the north and maybe turn windsward or turns one of the base places into a white region where you can't take it at first. Until everything gets settled in, and then that's where you do your tier 5 stuff at. So you don't take away from the crafters and still instill it. There's ways around this to make it even for both sides. I think taking from one and not taking from the other, to me, is a mistake.
So I'm going to pull this from our chat in Twitch, which, by the way, we're live. So if you want to watch us, tune in next week. Live chat. I actually like this. Have the companies that control both territories go to war. Even if it's purple against purple.
Oh,
like,
and do it.
Like, Wally says, go to war, figure it out.
Yeah.
Wally says you don't fight for a zone if nobody owns it. You got to fight to get it.
Hell yeah.
You got to put it in conflict. So now you have three different groups in Everfall doing PvP missions at the same time. If that's not a damn war, I don't know what is.
That's dirty.
If that's not combat at a level that you've never experienced before in a video game, I don't know what is. So I understand what you're saying, but I like conflict. I like to fight. So let us fight. Whoever gets it in conflict gets it. That means you got to defend it or you got to get it. I mean, there could be huge wars amongst all three of the factions over one territory. Think about Windsward on our server where everybody started. If all three factions started wiping and we were in there trying to do PvP missions, that would be amazing. That would be a hell of a war.
Think about it, though. What if they merge more than one server? How would you, you know what I mean? Like, that's when, how would you decide who goes to war out of that?
Whoever gets there first, whoever can roll it into conflict, there's still battle to be done. You still have to fight in the PvP. You have to do the PvP missions to get it into conflict to get it. You understand what I'm saying? So whoever can get it into conflict, they get to be a stakeholder. And then the other two fight in a war to decide who gets it, right? So the first syndicate or the first faction that gets it in puts that section in conflict and it holds. And then automatically the other two factions, they pull them in and make them fight in war. Whoever put the most effort into it, right? So if you had 40% that you put into trying to flip it and say the purple had 30%, whatever that top community was, right? Those two fight it. And then whoever wins that fights for the thing. It's almost like a playoffs. It could be kind of neat. It'd be kind of a neat thing. Or it could suck. Either way, there's no right answer here. I'm just giving my opinion. My opinion's my opinion.
No,
March think, Madness.
Yeah, I think you're damned if you do and damned if you don't kind of thing. It's kind of like, you know, Rob Peter to pay Paul. You're right. There is no right answer. No matter what, at the end of the day, it's one of those things like a Band-Aid. It's going to hurt either way. I think it's just finding out, like, what is the most fair option and the option that makes the most sense. And so I'm really liking, you know, everything that we're seeing here in chat. A lot of different opinions. Van says, given current server populations, they might have to merge more than two together. I think wiping the map and doing a Tom Cruise, quote, far and away style land grab makes sense in that case. Also, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Rum Bundit says, so yeah, what about all the time it took for a faction to put a territory into conflict previous to merge? I think if you wiped all territories would be the most fair. It's really this... It's a unique position to be in because it's not just like merging a server from Warcraft standpoint when like the world is literally not affected. Champ, it doesn't matter.
This is a very unique problem that AGS has to figure out, and they're going to do it in a way that they think is best. And some people are going to be mad. God forbid somebody gets their feelings hurt, right? Because if you want to see the armpit of humanity, go to the forums.
Yeah.
If you want to see the lack of patience and the lack of respect of just basic humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way people talk, it is hideous. Yeah, that's why I don't go there. I pick and choose what I read. It's just ridiculous. Look, what it comes down to, it's a damn video game. You paid $50 if you bought the max thing, and I guarantee you got your hours out of it. So if you walked away from it right now, you made a sound investment of any other solo play game you did. But it's a video game, right? Remember that when you're playing it. Those are other people that are there to escape their daily grind, to come in and hang out with their communities. You yeah. have to remember there are people playing this game, right?
Right.
So, but there's no real answer to this, guys. I just hope they find something and they do it well because they deserve a win. AGS has busted their ass, right? They are very communicative. They tell us everything and they're quick with it. They should get some respect for that. World of Warcraft would let you sit for weeks and wonder what the hell they were going to fix. This game, these developers, they are out there and they eat it. Hey, we made a mistake. We messed this up. It's the same thing with the auction house and or the trading post and not being able to trade. People get so upset about it. Breathe.
Right.
They're trying to fix it so you are on an even playing field. I do believe that they should ban the people and take the money that they have. They should give them zero gold. You can't just 24-hour ban somebody who's duping items and leave 400K in their bank. You can't do that. Nepton made a good point about that the other day. Do not let them keep the money that they duped. Wipe their money out. Ban them, kick them off the game. I don't care what you do, but they have to be held accountable, right?
Yeah.
We are doing it honest. Let's do it honest.
Right. I mean, and that's a current issue right now going around, you know, gold duplication, which, by the way, you know, they just, as of this recording, to those listening on release day on Monday, you know, they just opened trade back up, you know, and duplication taking place. And I know that they've been addressing that pretty heavily.
Yeah, we always make a play for people to just act like good humans here, and it sucks to see that, like, it, you know, because they're doing their best and some mistakes are being made, and you know, it's a brand new launch of a game, so yeah, there are going to be issues, and it helps none to spout out in global. It helps none to get on the forums and, you know, say some of the things that people do tend to say. And it's like, you know, people really just should just get a grip on it. It's like, hey, look, if you don't like it, go play something else for a while.
Right.
Things will get hammered out and then come on back. Right. But man, people just feel it's just the internet. It's the internet nowadays. You know, everybody's a keyboard warrior and everybody feels like they can hide behind that keyboard and just say whatever the hell they want to say. And it's just sad because there are people who are doing their best.
Right.
On the other side of it. And, you know, when you take the game at its brass tacks and get out there and you look at what they have created.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, just close your eyes when you're in the game and just turn up your sound and take a listen to the sound or look at the visuals of the game. They have created something freaking amazing.
Right.
Yeah. With a really cool story. There's, I'll sew it up. There's absolutely going to be. This is absolutely going to be an amazing game, but you just have to give them time to get these things hammered out.
One thing Rum Bandit said, also something I don't like about the current war system, to be honest, I wish you could hold territory. You can. You have to do the work. If someone's trying to put your territory in conflict, you have to stop them. If you don't want invasions to happen, you have to control the corruption portals. They give you the mechanics to handle it. You just have to handle it. You know, when we were attacking Windsward, Simplistic put up a big defense to keep us out of Windsward. They had two different armies. They were surrounding the town where you had to turn in the missions. That is part of defending the territory.
Agreed.
And that is how you slow it down. So if you want to slow it down, then you have to do the work. The problem is that communities that only have 20 people in their group, they get the city, they can't hold it. We were a little more patient. We wanted to get more. We went in and did a war to get the experience. We knew we were going to get our asses handed to us. It's okay. You got to learn sometimes, and the best way I learn is from my mistakes. Oh, shouldn't have stood there. Oh, there's 15 people here. I ran my solo butt in the middle of them thinking I was going to do something cool. It's a big deal, man. But I think there are lots of variables about this game that people just don't even know that are there, right?
Right.
How about the fact that if you control two of two different territories and the trading boards come from the two different territories systems? I think I found something today. I'm doing research. But I'm pretty sure there are certain towns that if you get them together, the resources you get from this place while you're out in the world doing their board missions, you can turn into the other. I'm seriously looking into that. I think I caught something today and I'm trying to figure it out, but I'm going to keep researching that. Cause if that's a thing, think about it. If you had to, if you own Windsward and Everfall, they go back and forth perfectly. Mm. Right. So you want to use that because that could be a thing. And I think I noticed it today when I was bouncing around doing board missions, and I'm going to continue to research, but they put a lot of work into the back end of this, put a lot of work into the systems to give you the ability to defend the territory, to give you the ability to build up the territory, to stop the invasions.
Yeah. And I agree, you know, going off that, I feel that, you know, whenever you own a territory, the short end of it is you're married to it. You have to put in the work. You have to defend it. Whatever you were doing that week, if you had guild events planned, guess what your guild events are now? Territory. You are taking care of portals, like Champ said, you know, doing everything you can do to take care of the, to make sure it doesn't get flipped into conflict. I can tell you right now on our server, there is a particular territory that I constantly watch, and I see specifically that this company is not taking care of it. They're not pushing back the opposing faction, and it's just sitting there and they're putting call outs. So what's that tell me? That tells me the company isn't active. That tells me the company isn't being proactive either, because it's being filled up with portals, filled up with, you know, corrupted. So for me, it's just like, okay, if you want to own a zone, if you want to own a territory, you need to understand you are then married to it. When we take a territory, all Lore Seekers listening, guess what? We're married to it. You're doing your questing there. You're doing your trading there. You're doing all your fighting there, especially when it comes to portals. And of course, all the PvP missions that come along with that. Not to mention any kind of crafting that comes alongside with that, which crafters then have to go all in on. Like, this is a huge deal. It's not something that you just decide one night, yeah, we're going to go push a territory. We'll see what happens. No. You are married to it. That's if you want to get the most out of it.
With great power comes great responsibility.
That's right.
You have, if you want to keep it, then you have to absolutely have to work for it. I just got to say, I am super impressed at the level of conversation that's going on right now in our chat.
Oh yeah, this is like fantastic.
It's completely respectful chat. Everybody's throwing out some amazing ideas, some great opinions.
Yeah.
I just love to see this, and this, because this is the hub of showing how passionate you are about something that you're enjoying. And
yes,
like that's the reason we're on air. It's a reason that we can get into spirited debates about stuff like this, because we care about the game. We care about where it's headed. We care about its potential.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I want to applaud you guys for actually having really, really good, like, non-forum-y, non-Reddit conversations in here. I think it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. This is what it should be, you know. This right here, proactive feedback. That's what we, everyone listening, should strive to do. Provide that proactive feedback, because at the end of the day, you win. Yeah. You listening right now, you win. As a gamer playing New World, as a consumer, you will win. So do everything you can do to help make it better, because that's what you should want. Anyway.
Oh, I just changed from whiskey to scotch, and this is horrible.
I know. Look at your face. You're all scrunched
up. That's a hard change there.
God, why am I drinking scotch when I hate it? It's because I'm out of whiskey.
Scotch.
I thought you disagreed with what JB was saying.
No, I love that guy. I hate scotch, though. That is definitely a thing.
Hey, speaking of new things, and before we get to the lore lesson, first impressions of the Void Gauntlet. Now, I don't know who here has gotten a chance to get a little taste. It'll taste the glory. But who, actually, on a more serious note, who here has had that chance to try the Void Gauntlet?
I know you have. I've watched a lot of videos on it. I haven't, because I've been back and forth to work, so I haven't downloaded the PTS. But
sure. Yeah.
I personally think it's going to take over the Ice Gauntlet.
Yeah. So here's my take on it. I'm a huge fan of, so taking out my personal, like, what I wanted to be added to the game, taking that out, if you were looking for magical melee, this is going to be right up your alley. If you were looking for, like, a ranged support, I wouldn't say main healer, but as a support, you know, if you're running this coinciding with a main healer in your group, right up your alley. in its current state, it has the decay tree, which is, you know, the buffs, debuffs, and you know, there's some healage in there. And then you have the annihilation tree that's, you know, more the melee, magical melee up in your face, you know, the whole void energy turns into a pretty much a void blade, right? Right now, in its current state, and everything I'm about to say, it's on PTR, first week rendition, okay? This is subject to change, okay? This is not set in stone. Currently, in its current form, it's, in my opinion, it is very unimpressive. And I say that from a standpoint of this. This game is so vast. Vastly superior in audio above any other MMO I have ever played. Visually stunning. You know, from going from to another magic, you know, to even the Ice Gauntlet, the Ice Storm, you know, visually appealing, visually stunning. You have the audio from the Fire Staff. I was questing with Champ the other day and he made a comment on one of the spells, you know, just hearing it again, impressive. In its current form, the Void Gauntlet really lacks a lot of the visuals and audio that we've come to expect, I guess, even 2 months in, expect as a standard throughout the rest of the game. And as such, because there's a lack of visuals, a really lack of in-depth audio, the weapon as a whole, in my opinion, currently feels really unimpressive and shallow.
Well, you can't really compare any other weapon when you have the visuals and the sounds of the Warhammer. I'm sorry.
It's true.
That one.
It's true.
Like, they went in there and they gave that one some extra love because that one is pretty impressive. But can we go through this real quick just so people have a good grasp of what the Void Gauntlet is? You guys mind if I just kind of run through it super quick?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay, so the Void Gauntlet, it stacks with intelligence as its primary stat, and then secondarily it stacks with focus. So it's the only weapon to do that on both. And it is also the only weapon to pair with the Life Staff. So for healers, it does make it a very good choice because you're stacking focus, obviously.
Sure.
One thing that I didn't know is when you hold right click, it drains your health to regen your mana. That was kind of cool. Mm. So you're kind of sacrificing a little bit. So like Jibs was saying, there are two different lines, the Annihilation line, which is more of your DPS line, and your Decay line, which is more healing and support. So for Annihilation, you have three skills. Void Blade, which is that halo blade that you see. It's a melee attack, gives you slashing damage and a small dot damage over time. There's the Petrifying Scream, which is a conal AoE, and that's going to provide a damage, a root to your enemy, and a stagger. And then there's Oblivion, and that is AoE damage over time, which grants empower, which increases damage that your allies deal 20%. And then the passives in the Annihilation line are, it's pretty much just like providing crit chance and some cooldown reduction. Now, the next line is the Decay line. This is that healing support line we were talking about, which gives some minor damage, but it mostly kind of like buffs the heals. There's Baneful Tether. That is very much like the Necromancer in Elder Scrolls Online, where it provides a tether between you and a single enemy.
Right.
It causes weakness to them and empowers you, which helps with your mana regen and also passively heals you. There's the Orb of Decay, where you fire an orb that can't be blocked, and that orb deals damage at max and then at max range, it returns to you and friendlies within, I think, like a 5-meter range. It returns to you as a healing orb, which gives a heal over time. And the healing that is done there scales with your focus. So for healers, that's a big freaking deal. So you're basically getting passive. If you drop that, you're getting passive healing back. Then the last one is Essence Rupture. That one's a debuff. You apply that to an enemy, and any ally that hits that enemy is healed. And then the passives for the Decay line basically upgrades healing and mana regen a bit. So there is some mana regen. And I think the reason for that, at least the way I'm seeing it, I think for that reason, this might replace the ice gauntlets. Because the one reason that a healer uses those ice gauntlets, aside from, you know, the slows and you know, putting little Olaf down so he can shoot little ice spikes at people, is Ice Tomb. I mean, Ice Tomb is an invaluable tool for a healer. Even as, like, that's mainly what I do, I still ended up switching over to the Warhammer just because of the damn sound, and it's amazing. So, but in my opinion, I think that decay line, that healing and support line, is going to be more beneficial to a healer, especially in PvE, than the Ice Gauntlet is. So that, for that reason, I think it's going to replace Ice Gauntlet.
And I'll be quick. I'll be very quick with my analysis. I originally looked at the trees through the lens of a tank. And so what I was looking at is like the healing that would come back. And a lot of it is mana based. A lot of it's paired off of your focus. Well, tanks don't really run with that. Would you change? Eh, probably not, due to the not stacking. So I kind of looked at it through that lens. And maybe there would be some benefit in the annihilation line. Every single like third tier attribute you put to a skill, fortifying echoes, there's absorption by 10%. So there's protection. You got leaching blade that heals self for 5% damage. So you got these kind of low yielding tank skills that you might as well just stick with the Warhammer or the Great Axe for crowd control purposes, right? For keeping the threat in a small area. So I don't necessarily see myself, unfortunately, I don't really see myself as a tank going over to the Void Gauntlet.
I think one of the things with regards to specs and the Void Gauntlet and everything else is knowing what the weapon does and what it can do for your kit. Let's use the Great Axe for an example, right? The Great Axe is a close the distance, get the kill, right? It's also a pull everything to your tank. You know, when you have this, the maelstrom pulls everything to you, reap pulls everything to you. So as a tank, finding those nuances that help you. So if you're in an AoE fight, maybe switch into a Great Axe when you're clearing trash so you can grab everything and pull it to you. And then switch it to a Warhammer if you need to displace adds away from a boss, right? Having the ability to switch weapons just as you go. Now I understand you got to wait for the cooldown of the stuff, but that's part of it. They could do that so you don't just switch to another weapon and have a brand new set of skills and just roll with it, right? But I think if you really look at what the weapons do, there are single target, I think, tank assistant weapons, like the hatchet, for instance, I think is more single target. People that use the hatchet. And I think the Warhammer and the Great Axe are more of an AoE, maybe gather adds type of thing. With this gauntlet, I'm interested in the blade part. In the in-your-face blade part of it. And it might get me to switch to a an intellect base. Maybe grab a fire staff. Because I don't care about healing.
Right.
I don't care about helping people live. I want to kill things. That's all I do. I've got the title right now for killing 35,000 PvP and PvE things. I love killing stuff. It's what I do. So it's funny. You see it as a utility base for tank. I see it as a kill ratio. How can I use this to murder things? And I love the fact that people look at these weapon systems from different visions, which is why you get such different opinions, right? This weapon sucks. Well, it sucks for you in the way you play right now, but it doesn't suck for me, right? And so I think that's interesting that they make the weapons different enough to where it doesn't feed everybody, right? It doesn't appease the beast, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody cares about the healer. I'll just sit back there and just fling my little healy stick at all you guys and just let you stay up there and have all the fun.
You only need one healer, unless you have cash, and then you need two.
Ah, there's the last heal you'll ever receive.
Got him.
Where's my heels?
Both shots.
I'm shaving my balls.
There it is.
Well, hey, everyone who's tuning in, we want to hear your take. And we're opening back up the email and the voicemails. Call us 765-382-6961. That's going to take you straight to our voicemail. We want to hear, that's your challenge for next week. We want to hear your take on the Void Gauntlet. All right. We'll play your voicemails right here live on the show. And also, you can email us, loreseekerscast@gmail.com. Gentlemen, I'm ready for a new lore lesson that I hear is quite the ditty.
Let's go.
All right. Here we go. We'll be right back, folks. Let's check this out.
Lore lesson. The Ancients. Part 3. Governor Sullis. Our journey across this accursed land continues. We've traveled to the eastern coast of the island through the territories of the Restless Shore and Morningdale. We continue to discover numerous towers jutting into the sky and effigies of the ancients. Quite the self-absorbed beings, it seems. Sculptures of their image dot the landscape in many locations, especially those where mysterious energies are encountered. Some time ago, I promised you a more detailed and analytical synopsis of our findings on the ancients. In our travels, I've had much time to speculate and ponder. There is no doubt others have come before us in hopes of uncovering the mysteries of these ancients. A missive we found deep in a temple ruin describes much of what we discovered to date. Four page of statuary and symbolism. The statues within the temple were strange, indeed, yet were clearly of the culture that came before. Yet the likeness was peculiar, each statue bearing a twin pair of arms and cleft down the middle, much like the spheres great and small. A division of the self, a representation of duality, perhaps. In one of the statue's hands was a weapon, the other a familiar orb, outstretched. Perhaps it was a religious symbol, or something to channel other forces, perhaps. I found another skeleton intact, but with a spear and armor, unlike the ones on the perimeter outside. A leader or ruler, perhaps? It had not been buried. It seemed more a guard of the stone coffer within the temple. Signed, G. One point of contention that sticks in my mind, Governor. Why did the ancients have four arms and a split face? My mind has gone in circles with this mystery. First, it is difficult to imagine just how supernatural these beings would appear in the first place. But once your mind accepts its probable truth, you can begin to speculate just what and who these beings were. The thoughts bring me back to primary school, when we first learned of the myths of ancient Greece. As you may or may not recall, the mythology of the period describes humans as originally having four arms and four legs. They were both man and woman, and were adorned with a head with two faces. There was a time that humans were very powerful creatures, fearless and strong, and even dared to threaten to conquer the gods and rule in their stead, becoming new gods. The gods themselves, threatened by the notion, had to answer. They contemplated how to face the human threat and what they needed to accomplish for balance and harmony to be restored once again. They would split the humans in half and punish them for their pride and hubris. Apart from the pain that would cause them, they would also double the population of humans, hence doubling the tributes that had to be made to the gods by the humans. And so they did, and the humans everywhere were split in two, condemning them to spend their lives in search of the other halves. This is where the term soulmates originates. Apollo, the god of music, truth, and prophecy, healing, and light, could not bear to see them like this. So to ease their pain, he sewed them up, reconstituted their body forms, and just left the navel as the only reminder of their original form. So humans went from double-faced and double-sexed creatures with eight limbs to single-faced ones of a single sex, with two arms and two legs, and they forever longed for their soul and their physical other half. Now, this reminds me of Isabella, this Tempest, who is rumored to only have half a soul, and she seeks the box which holds her other half. Did she barter a portion of her soul to some dark underworld deity? Does this mean us humans upon the island may fall to corruption and lose half of our own soul? The mere thought is frightening. Now, these theories certainly play into the mythos of these ancients being gods with four arms and two faces, but what insanity! How could this be true, even upon this enchanted island? Another fact that plagues me, Governor, is that many of these giant spires erecting from the ground, these obelisks, are each named after the constellations of ancient Greek mythology. Orion, Hydrus, Oktant, Draco, Delphinus, Cygnus, just to name the ones that we've encountered or have been told about by the locals. The Orion cluster of stars, as you probably know, is one of the brightest and most renowned in the night sky. I can't help but wonder if the locations of these obelisks on the island are from the best viewing location to each of these mythological constellations. Orion, known as the Hunter, was born to Uriel and Poseidon, which we also know as Neptune. His father was the god of the sea, my governor. Could this hold some significance as to what drew our ships to the island? Delphinus, on the other hand, is a constellation found in the northern skies. It is quite recognizable from the crystal clear nights in the skies over Everfall, where the obelisk is located. Delphinus represents the dolphin sent by Poseidon to find a nereid named Amphitrite. Again, mythology relating to the open sea. There is something to all of this. There must be a reason these obelisks were named after all of the Greek constellations, and I intend to find the reason. Do these spires draw power from the very stars above? Who named the obelisks? Ingenious, if you ask me. The Greek constellations and distinct patterns that have burned in the night sky over the millennia marked some of the most recognizable mythology in our world's history. But I digress. I can no longer make sense of what is actually our world anymore. What's more are the presence of these spherical sculptures of all sizes found across the landscape of Eternum. Some are small, about the height of the common man. Some can fit in the palm of a man's hand, where others are hulking in size, as much as the height of 20 men or more. They all appear to have fallen from the sky, as nearly every one we've found has been deeply inset into the earth. Massive, heavy, and immovable. In addition to finding them on the surface, we've found them underground, as part of the effigies of the ancients entombed within the structures they've built. Some statues of the forearm entities hold them in their grasp, others inset into stone doors with power emanating from their core. One of our expedition's most astute scholars is convinced these stone spheres served as a containment unit for the powerful Azoth element or its pure energy, a likely use for them, but we remain unconvinced. We need more evidence. Many questions remain, my governor. What are they doing here and what do they represent? What is their purpose? Do they represent the planets above? The moon, Mercury, Venus, or the sun, perhaps? They all seem to represent energy of a sort, as they did in mythology. Atlas, for example, which they resemble, was the Titan, condemned to hold up the heavens and the sky for an eternity. He is typically depicted as a human holding a large sphere, not unlike these. Maybe a stretch, but do we not use the term Atlas to describe a collection of maps? But a map to what? The spheres seem to be everywhere. We found an old journal entry in Windsward referring to the same findings we had discovered. What do they want us to find? Lore page.
Grenville and the temple. Circles within circles. Batty's words again prove true. The skeletons on the outskirts of the structure have small spheres with markings much like the great spheres embedded in their chests. They were not posed as warnings. They seemed to have lived once, and I could see the trails they had worn in the stone in the temple perimeter as if they had walked a circle about it countless times, yet simply one day, stopped. I took to one of the spheres for study. Tomorrow, Rolf, if he will come, fear is continually evident on his face, and I will press on into the temple proper. Signed, Grenville. Too many questions, but the lack of answers continues to contribute to the frustrations of my expedition. I do what I can to keep the morale at a manageable level, but between long days of digging for evidence, traversing some of the most uninhabitable territory imaginable, and having to fend for our very lives, I fear my people are waning. Steady on our course, however, we have a renewed sense of duty and hope upon every discovery. We have an unwavering commitment to the company, the syndicate, and the lore we seek. Fear not, Governor Sullis. We are resolute and we are strong. For more information shall be forthcoming as soon as we discover it. Your loyal servant and friend, Cassius Kilborn.
Woo!
Always impressive.
My friend. That was good. Woo.
Thank you, good sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Slowly but surely uncovering the mystery of the ancients in Cassius Kilborn style.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Lore Seekers. We hope you enjoyed yourself. And if you did, stop what you're doing. Take a couple minutes. Whatever podcast app you're using, for those of you listening on release day or even here at the stream, stop what you're doing. Go find our show on a podcast app and give us a review. We want to hear from you. We want to know how we're doing. Do you enjoy it? Do you not enjoy it? Why or why not? We want to know. Anyway, so thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate you. And yeah, champ.
You can call us at 765-382-6961. Please keep your message to 1 minute or less. You can email us at loreseekerscast@gmail.com. You can find our podcast, written lore lessons, and articles at loreseekerscast.com.
Friends, follow us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter. Jibs is at JibsIRL. Champ is at Champ2504. Sullis is at Sullis. And myself at LoreSeekerCash. Follow the show at LoreSeekersCast. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at LoreSeekersCast.
You can also follow our second Lore Seekers podcast show called 2A Turnum, where yours truly presents our company's storyline in a role-playing setting. Even more important, you follow our socials now because you, the listener, get to pick where we go in the storyline. So stay tuned for that. You can also follow us on Twitch right here on twitch.tv/LoreSeekersCast. Love you, y'all.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you. And if you're looking for a company, come join us. A community, come join us. More importantly, have a great week. We'll see you next week right here on Lore Seekers. Take care.